Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Before I get my message, today's kind of a big day. We celebrate every year our anniversary. Because it's a big deal. If you're born into privilege, it's possible that you don't appreciate the things that you have. I wasn't neither spiritually nor naturally born into privilege. So I'm very thankful. I'm at a place in life that I didn't even dream about being at, and I'm very thankful. And I'm thankful for the people that God has added to this house that serve the vision of this house so faithfully. Who just serve the Lord. It's so exciting to see people. But before we get to my message, I'm going to invite my wife to come on up here and see if she has any more. Yeah, give it up for her. You don't have to run. You're good. Jesus.
Hey, guys. Happy anniversary. It's good to celebrate with all of you guys. I just want to say I'm very excited about all that God has done over the last coming up on 9 years, even the outreach to our Sunday morning services. And I'm just so thankful for all the people that maybe have been here from the beginning or people who have, like my husband said, are just here for the first time today. I feel really privileged to serve and to minister with all of you that make all of this possible. And I just want to thank you for your service to the body of Christ, your service to the Lord, your service to this vision. You're all a part of this, and this is really exciting. I want to also thank the people that have been working so diligently to prepare our new location. I'm so excited. You guys are such a blessing. And also, I want to thank those people that are working to provide this barbecue. Sarah Reynoso and the First Impressions team, you guys are the bomb. They may not hear me. They may be doing stuff outside, but they're a blessing. And everyone that you do, I'm so excited what God has done thus far, but I'm really looking forward to the next season and what God has for all of us. So I love you all, and enjoy the day.
Yay. Give it up for my beautiful wife, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to share a brief message. That's Pastor Humor right there. I'm going to share a brief message, and then we're going to break down. And like Chelsea said, instead of putting things in the closet, we're going to put them on trucks. Amen. And I believe that men and women are equal. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But they're different. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I have found that some people congregate toward getting a barbecue ready, and some people congregate toward putting heavy things on trucks. Now, if you like to put heavy things on trucks, we need help putting heavy things on trucks. If you like getting barbecues ready, then we need help getting things set up for the barbecue. If you don't like doing anything, you're probably in the wrong church. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a list of great churches in Boca that'll let you come and do nothing. Amen. Come be entertained and go home after the offering. We actually like to be a body. So, hey, yeah, we'll do that right at the end, though, all right? I want to, if you were with us at the Burning Room on Friday night, I kind of want to share something that the Lord was speaking there. And it really goes with what we're doing today. Our society today moves fast. Our society moves at a speed that I don't know that God ever actually intended. Does that make sense? I don't know that God ever intended for us to have a life that we can't sit, contemplate, and appreciate what has been happening. I don't believe that God ever intended for our life to be so hectic that anxiety medications are the most prescribed medications in our country. Right? I don't believe that was it. I believe that we were put on a planet where we had to grow plants and raise animals. An animal was birthed and you had to keep it alive long enough to eat it, right? Like that takes some time, right? Now they super engineer chickens that, like, I don't know, later the same day they're full size almost, right? Like we've super engineered things. And now, like, we've genetically modified plants that grow in the weeds, I don't know, it's crazy science what they do. And but it was intended that we would raise food and we would have to trust God for rain, that it would take a while, that we would have to plan for the winter. And there were times of contemplation, times of thankfulness. There were feasts There were celebrations. There were memorials and remembrances. And so often in our life today, we don't stay present long enough to be thankful for what we have. We completely miss life because we're so worried about what's coming next or what's happened in the past. We completely miss what's going on right now. We completely miss it. We're not present long enough to just appreciate the moment. We're not present long enough to celebrate what God is doing right now. We're so worried about where we're going. And the businessmen and businesswomen in the room, you close one deal, you're thinking about the next deal. Right? There was a time where you would close a deal and you'd have a celebration with your staff. There was a time where we would just celebrate what happened now. We get a bonus check at Christmas and we're expecting that and it's just another paycheck. We're not present long enough to truly celebrate what God's doing. We're just busy. We're going, 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 going. And we don't take time to celebrate. When God gave us the first 10 commandments, it's so significant. We're not supposed to kill people, right? That makes sense, right? I've kept that law. I don't know about you. I've kept that law, right? I got that one, right? We're not supposed to want somebody else's wife to the point of going after her, right? I got that one. I'm good, right? We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to steal. These are like, we consider this fundamentals of character. Amen? And we're supposed to rest. First 10 rules. The first 10 rules that God came up with. Supposed to be present. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't work. Just be present. Now, much of the New Age world is now caught onto this. How many of you know there's nothing new under the sun? And just because New Age or self-help books or whatever, just because they've stumbled onto a God truth doesn't mean that it's no longer truth. Are you with me? I've been accused in the past, oh, you just read a bunch of self-help books and you preach that. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. I've never read a self-help book, but the fact that you think that that's worthy of a self-help book makes me feel good about myself. I appreciate that criticism right there. I know you meant it for bad, but the Lord is using it for good. I'm encouraged right now. Hallelujah. That's for the YouTube trolls. You know not to read the comments on YouTube, right? It is a cesspool. I don't know if you know that. It's just a cesspool. Don't even leave a comment on YouTube. Hallelujah. Hi, YouTube. But it's right there. Right there, he tells us, listen, we need to stop and be present. Thankful for what God has done. Right? Close one deal. Why haven't I closed five deals? Close five deals. Man, John closed 10 deals. You find out you're only disappointed in yourself when you compare yourself to someone else. You're only disappointed in God when you look at what God has done for someone else and you start thinking, why hasn't he done it for me? That's where disappointment comes from. When you sit and you're present, you think, I could be lost in my sin, but I'm not. You might still be in your sin, but you're not lost if you found Christ. There's a way out. Amen? We sit there and if we look at what we haven't accomplished and we try to strive for more, we miss it. We completely miss it. We miss the testimony God is building in us. We miss what he's trying to accomplish on the earth, the kingdom that he's establishing in us. Amen? In Ecclesiastes, you all know this scripture. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the writer says in verse 4, he says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to mourn and a time to dance. Sometimes we're offended with people because they're not in the same season that we're in. Right? We can't celebrate their season because we're so trapped in our season and where we're trying to go. Right now, there's people in a season of weeping in this house. We need to be present enough to see that. We can't be so caught up in where we're going to not be present with a friend and recognize by the power of the Holy Spirit that somebody needs something from our time of celebration. We have to be aware of what's going on around us. I just feel like if we didn't make that extra commission, we're going to go to heaven still happy. If we didn't do that extra half of a Sunday work, we might still raise good kids, right? We might have a healthy life here on earth. We might actually have some heart health in our 50s and 60s and 70s. Amen? We might need slightly less anxiety medications. We might need less deliverance, or we might need less marital counseling if we just were present with our spouses, present with our children. I'm here to let you know that raising your kids is more important than closing another deal. I want to talk about that kind of briefly today, and then we're going to eat hamburgers. Amen? We're in a time of celebration right now as a house. We're not celebrating God for stuff. How many of you know, if you look in the abstract, we're renting a building. Every business in Boca right now is renting or owning a building, right? It's not manna from heaven, right? We're not celebrating the fact that we're renting a building. We're celebrating the fact that people's lives have been changed in this ministry. Come on. That people are being connected to the presence and power of God. This is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating for the freedom that God has given us and that we're able to give away to others. This is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that God still puts the solitary in family. That once we weren't a people, now we are the people of God. This is what we celebrate. It's tough. It's tough being in family. How many of you know that? It could be tough. I got my mother-in-law in the front row. So it's easy for me to be in family, of course. It's easy for me, of course. But family can be difficult because you can't run away from family. Right? God gives you, like, your family's name. You can't run from that. You know, you got to work that out. It's hard. And when you put in the work to keep family together, it's worth celebrating. Yeah. It's worth celebrating. Some of you have come to this church and it's not been easy. Some of you came to this church and God, you had to humble yourself to fit in. I remember early in this church, and I'm just going to kind of reminisce and finish hopefully soon. We started as an outreach. Let me get a real quick look here. If you joined this church while we were still meeting Friday nights, can you stand for me? I just want to see. Front row people, see? If you moved in the front row, you'd be here Friday nights too. Come on, give it up for these folks if you would. Have a seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad you stuck with us there, Lillian. I mean, most of you guys too, but she was our first greeter, Lillian was. Lillian got right with God. Yeah, if you know Lillian, that you would have laughed. She's an amazing worship leader. Not as much greeter. Hallelujah. So Lillian joins our church. She's an amazing singer, right? She's an amazing vocalist. Not really excited about the interpersonal stuff, right? We have a worship team. She's ready to join the worship team. Hallelujah. That's great. Why don't you be a greeter? I don't actually want to be. She didn't say that, though. She's like, if I got to greet, I'll greet. And she stuck around, and God has now given her a husband and a child. Hallelujah. It's a marvel. I have found when you join family and you stay a part of family, you might lose some of what you want to do, but you'll gain what you're not able to do. Right? When we join the family of God, this is what happens. And when we jump around from event to event, we don't get that. We don't get that. We only get what you can see on the quick serve menu, right? Like my favorite Cuban restaurant's got a window that you can get some quick food, or you can come in and sit down and they make you a meal, right? So you can always get the stuff out of the quick serve menu as you jump around. But if you want the real meal, the shredded beef that they have to stew for hours, that takes some time, right? In the kingdom of God, you can jump around and get the quick serve stuff. Oh, look, I got a blessing here. Oh, look, I got a word there. Oh, look, I got the worship here. Oh, look, I'm my own pastor. Yeah, that means you're not getting pastored, right? And if you want the deep work of God, you might have to stay still long enough for God to do a work in you. The Old Covenant talks about Aaron, and it talks about the people of God, and it talks about the oil being poured out on the priest and then the oil dripping off the beard onto the ground, right? And there's a lot of people trying to get anointed in this day and age. There aren't many people who stay still long enough for the ground beneath them to get anointed. We need people who stay still long enough to say, this is where my anointing will rest. I will affect an area with my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to be right here in this area right here. I take responsibility over this Jesus. And I will cry out for this little spot right here. When the oil falls on me, I'll allow it to drip on this part right here. There should be a spot that you look at and you can see God has moved right here because of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've been with us, you know, more than a week, you've seen that in your life. You've seen people get touched. You've seen God move. This is who we are. In the book of Joshua, let me catch you up to the story real quick. As you remember, the children of Israel were in bondage. They were slaves, right? They did dirt to their brother, right? And because of that, they moved somewhere that they eventually became slaves. That's like the very quick version of the story, right? They became slaves to Egypt. And Moses came and he busted them out of Egypt, right? You remember that story? Busted them out and they went into the desert and they were traveling through the desert and they didn't want to operate in faith. And so they didn't get to go right into the promised land. So 40 years they circled the promised land and almost everybody had died off and been replaced with new people by that point. And they go in the promised land and they're being chased and they're, you know, there's this problems, right? And they don't know what to do. And they find themselves at a river, and the Lord says to them, a body of water, the Lord says to them, listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go there, you're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the water is going to separate, right? And you're going to cross over. And he says something very, very interesting as this. In Joshua chapter 4, starting in verse 6, let's read this. This is what God says to Joshua. He says, let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Verse 7, then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. What he told them was, listen, the Ark is going to go across, and the Ark is going to stop in the middle of the water as you're crossing. Everybody crosses. Then 12 people from each of the tribe go back and you get a stone from where the ark is standing, where they're holding the ark on their shoulder. You get that stone, you bring it back to the other side and you build a memorial. This is going to be a memorial for the people forever. Amen? I am into memorial stones. I am into memorial stones. I don't believe that there is an anointing on them. I don't believe there's anything special in them physically, but there's something special in them in me. Those physical objects connect me to the testimony of God. I collect memorial stones. I like to keep them around. I like to remember what God did. And we just collect them as we go. I collect them through my life. A while ago, earlier this year, we did a series on radical, being radical for God. Remember that? We talked about radical love, radical serving, radical trust, radical faith. And then we had these little stones. Remember the stones? And we wrote down what God was talking to you about. And so I have my wife, because her handwriting's far better than mine, I have my wife write faith. I'm going to practice radical faith. I said, I'm getting faith in this stone. I have a little watch box that I keep my watch in. I put it there every day. I put on a watch and I'll see it. Radical faith today. Radical faith. Radical faith. And I got this and I said, I'm believing God that soon I'm getting an office. Like we are getting some property. Now, in Boca, you know, everybody's got a building. It's not that big a deal, except it's hard for a church to rent property in Boca. It's difficult. The zoning is funny. Landlords don't want to rent because, you know, we make noise, and it's just complicated. It's difficult, and it's expensive in Boca. And I just said, this is it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm doing this. It's time. So what started as a little rock, a little neat idea in the message series, now has become a living stone for what God did in this season of my life. This is something we do. Now, this is just a rock, but we need to take time to appreciate the miracles in our life. It's important that we take time to reflect on what God has done. I like having meals. My wife likes it more with extended family. My wife really likes it. I kind of like it. I like on what we consider the high holy days of Christianity, you know, Christmas, Easter. I like to gather with my family, Thanksgiving, my immediate family, and just thank God for what he's done. I like to celebrate on the resurrection. We like to celebrate just what Jesus did through his death and resurrection, right? On Christmas Eve, we always celebrate as a family. We have a candlelight dinner of takeout on Christmas Eve. It's what we do every single year. We take pictures, we post it. I have just years and years of these pictures. And we're just thankful for family. And on Thanksgiving, we get together as a family and we're just thankful for what we have in our lives, right? We just try to live a life of thankfulness. And we have to take time to appreciate what God has done. We have to take time to appreciate the miracles that we're in the midst of. We have to stop in the moment and just look around, just with our mind's eye, to take in what is happening. We go on vacations and we don't want to waste any time on vacations. We just run the whole time. We get home, we're like, what just happened? No, you know what just happened? You spent $5,000. That's what just happened. And you came back exhausted, repenting that you were yelling at your family. Woohoo, let's do that again. No thanks, let's just stay home. But what if we try to accomplish a little bit less on the vacation and we stop and we appreciate what's happening? What if we sit around and we're just thankful for the people we're away with? Just appreciate the miracle that's happening. Every time people have their first child, or I believe they do it on the second and third, whatever, but I tell them, when you first hold that baby, you dedicate that child to the Lord. You appreciate the miracle that just happened. Life's going to get very, very busy, and you're going to miss so much of it. But in that moment, thank God for the miracle of life happening. For me, my children are living memorials to God's goodness in my life. They're living memorial stones. Each child is a miracle. And I thank God for the testimony in each of my children. I think about the testimony God is building in them. I think about what God has spoken to my wife and I through their birth and their life. I just want to appreciate who God is in that moment with each of them. We're a very affectionate family. Sometimes my children don't like the amount of affection that we want to give, especially as they're teenagers, especially in public. You know, like it could be, I get it. I don't care, but I get it. Make any difference to me. I mean, love you though. But I want to appreciate this season. I want to appreciate every single season I have with them. I want to appreciate every season I have with my wife. So we try to get away regularly just to be us. I don't want my marriage to be about raising kids. I want my marriage to be about my marriage. And I want my marriage to produce healthy children. Right? So I invest in my marriage. I don't want this church just to be about one person, one vision, one gift, one thing. It's got to be about us as a people. It's got to be, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but on Sunday morning we do a call to worship. We don't need a call to worship. We've had church consultants come here and say, that's kind of redundant. I'm like, yeah, but how else do we train people how to get on microphones if we don't do that? Like, it's got to be about us. It can't be about me. It can't be about Corey. Right? It can't just be about my wife. It's got to be about us as a people. Does it make sense? It's got to be about something bigger, and we have to appreciate that. And so we have to take time to appreciate the miracle. I've asked two people to share testimonies today, and as I'm talking long, I hope they talk short. Come on up now if you two would. I asked you, I already asked them, so don't just come and volunteer yourself. Oh, I got a testimony? No. We got some people. Yeah, come on. Yeah, give it up. Come here. I'm going to try to stretch this out a little bit here. Come on, Catherine. Come on up here. Give it up for Catherine, if you would.
Hi. Okay, so...
Hold on. Okay, go.
Okay, so I grew up in a broken family. I had no identity, no purpose. Felt like an outcast my entire life. So when I was 15, I actually got radically saved and radically baptized in the Holy Spirit. But 3 months later, I didn't know God. I didn't know the love of God. I didn't understand it. So I just started living for myself. And now I'm in high school, and I have no identity, no idea who I am. So, you know, I turned to drugs, men, and alcohol, trying to find who I was. So when I was 19, I took a trip to Miami with two of my friends, and we drove from Virginia Beach to Miami, and I stopped to see my sister in West Palm, and we went out to dinner, and she said, "Where are you going with your life?" And I started crying. I had no idea. I had no hope, nothing. So she said, you got to come to church. So I told my friends, I can't come with you. I need to go to church. I just knew it. So I went and I met Pastor Carl. He prayed for me. I got completely delivered. I wanted nothing. Yeah. I wanted nothing to do with my old life. Nothing. Nothing at all. And as I'm here, I grow and God speaks identity to me. I'm Catherine. I get a purpose. Like, I have a purpose now. And now I'm here.
So you came down to visit.
Yeah.
And you never went back home.
I took a one-way ticket, grabbed my stuff, drove all the way down, and never came. Like, never went back home. Like,
hallelujah.
Never. Yeah. And so here I am today to tell the story. And my life is so good. Like, I can't even explain. I'm up here singing, dancing what I'm created for. I serve in kids. I didn't even like kids before.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, just praise God.
Amen. Give it up for Catherine, everybody. Give it up for Jesus and Catherine, everybody. Hi, Brandon. Say hi to Brandon, everybody. Hold on. Okay, go.
Well, I'm from Miami.
Come on. Shh. You're taking up his time right now. Come on.
Well, the part of Miami I'm from, you know, the murder rate is higher than the graduation rate. And you don't really have no one to look up to but either killers, drug dealers, or you know, bad people. So you choose to take the wrong route. At 15, I bought my first gun for $70. At 21, I went to jail for something I didn't do, but you was raised up to not tell on your friends. And I was looking at like a life sentence. I ended up getting out of jail. I told God I wouldn't do it again. I ended up doing it again. 23, I went back to jail, something I didn't do again. Looking at 5 years, still didn't tell. So at 25, you know, at around 24, so I just started praying. I knew the life that I was living wasn't the life that I was supposed to live. Like, I just knew I wanted more. So I just started praying. One of my friends had recently got saved. So I was just talking to him, asking him how he did it. But I never was able to transition to what he was doing because I was still hanging around the same friends. I ended up meeting my wife at a football camp, and she invited me to church. I come the first week I came to the church, everybody was smiling. So I'm like, these people weird. You know, I'm looking at people like they weird. The second week I came back to church, and I didn't have any gas. I drove all the way from Miami, no gas. And I'm sitting and praying to God, like, how am I going to get home? And I was walking from the bathroom, and someone came to me, and they was like, you know, what's your name? I told them my name was Brandon. And it was like, you know, God told me to give you this. He ended up giving me some money. Didn't know I was on E. The following week, same situation. I'm going home, and somebody invited me to lunch. And, I just started crying because, you know, that's not what you're used to. It's like in Miami, if you don't have it, you don't have it. Like, that's not nobody else's issue. Here, it's like people's going to look out to make sure you're okay. You know, so I did the intro to Revival Life class. I started serving in doing the ushers. And it was something completely different from me because I wasn't used to talking to people. Like, I didn't talk to people. I wasn't used to, like, greeting, you know, being nice to people. So from there, I love kids. I went and did the kids ministry, and then I didn't get saved there. I ended up getting baptized. I got baptized, and I just seen my whole life change at that instant. A couple weeks later, I went on a mission trip, and things that I never seen or enjoyed, like. I seen it. I seen so many blessings, so many things, you know, and it just changed my life completely. And now I'm doing soundboard. I love the soundboard. I like to bridge that gap. Oh.
You are saved.
Yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. So I just started enjoying the community, you know, people being friendly and stuff like that. And so Pastor Carl prayed for me a couple times. And I never like lay down on the floor. I laid down on the floor one time in his house and I just felt like I got to give it all to him. And Pastor Carl did an altar call for like a month straight, and I was at every altar call. I've been in churches where I never went to an altar call. I didn't get up. I didn't feel like I was supposed to move. And this one is like I couldn't control myself. My feet was moving for me. And all this happened here. Like, all this happened in this place right here. I just met tons of new friends. Like, you know, I almost have everybody number in here. We talk, you know, and I have friends that didn't even show up to my wedding. Each one of you people showed up to my wedding.
Come on.
Even we invited you to a gender reveal, you guys showed up. And, you know, that just shows love and community. And I also just started to see, I found a calling. Like, you know, I know what God called me to do.
Give it up for Brandon, everybody. Hallelujah. So listen, so maybe you close a big deal and you buy a watch or you buy a pen. These are my living stones. These are my living memorial stones from Boca Middle. I have living memorial stones from every stop this church has been on. There was a season where we didn't have anywhere to meet and we were just meeting here and there. I got living memorial stones from that season. I want you to see this. Look at Joshua 4, chapter 7. I want you to see this. This is what God said to Joshua. Listen. He said to take the rocks and make a memorial, right? Watch this. Joshua chapter 4, verse 7. Here we go. He says, they're going to ask, what do these rocks mean? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to who? This wasn't a memorial to God. It didn't say this is a memorial to God. He didn't say you're going to go down and you're going to worship God at these rocks. Go back one slide. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel. Listen, there are people who will come after you who won't know about this season. There needs to be memorial stones to say that we went somewhere. This is who we are. This is something that, hey, I know you think, son and daughter, that we're doing well, but I need you to see the season that we're in. You pull out the pictures. You talk about what Jesus did. You show the scriptures that God brought you deliverance from. You drive by the place that God's glory fell. You remember, you tell the story of what God has done in your life. It has to be passed down, and it can't be passed down if you don't see it. He said, listen, here's what's going to happen. There's water that you can't get across. Someone's going to stand in the middle of it and there's going to be no water and you're going to cross. Then you're going to go on the other side. Then you're going to come back and you get a rock and then you're going to make a memorial. And so finally, the things in the middle and the water separate and they go across and God said, hey, tell them, go back and get a rock. You got to go back to that place of the miracle. So you can share it with people. You have to read your old journals. Remember what God did. Don't let it just be a book on the shelf. Amen. Don't let it just be a thing that happened 2 years ago. Now you're waiting for the next thing. You got to dig that thing up and remember it and breathe life on it by sharing it with somebody. He says in Luke 19, Jesus said, listen, if these rocks, if these people don't cry out, the rocks will cry out instead. He'll raise up someone to give him glory. He'll raise up someone to share the testimony. I've decided it's going to be me. How about you? I've decided it's going to be me. I'm going to give him glory for what he did. I'm not going to forget what he has done. I want to take what he did in the past and bring it into the future. Amen? Now listen, if we don't share what God has done for us, we're damning the generation after us to have to re-go through it. We want to let them know, hey, there's deliverance from this. Let me tell you what's happening. Let me tell you what happened to me. You find out Brandon has a testimony about being broke and not being able to pay his bills. He's got to share that testimony. You got to share the testimony of what God has done. You got to say, breathe hope into someone else who's dealing with something. I tell the testimony of my children all the time. We can't have kids. We have two. Come on. We share the testimony. Here's what I really like. This is probably not as Christian. People come to this church, and I say this all the time, and they tell us they can't have kids, and we laugh. They have some sort of miracle happen. They have kids. They get offended and leave. I have a living stone in their family. I got a little living testimony in their family about what God did here. Amen? Amen. Tell the testimony without sharing us. Come on. I dare you. Go try it. Try it. Try it. Try it. Try it. Bet you won't. So listen. We're about to eat some food. Amen? I don't want you to forget what God has done here. We're not leaving this place. I mean, we're meeting in a new building, but we never can be so big that we can't get low to meet in a middle school. The Lord tells us next year, get rid of that place and go meet in another high school. Guess what? Remember how to set this stuff up. Amen. We believe that we need a location for what God wants us to do in this next season. Amen. And so we're just going to do that. Pastor Cameron came and he's like, you need to have two services here, not go there. It's too small. I'm like, we're just doing what the Lord told us to do. Is it going to make us, you know, are people going to be jealous? No. That's not what we're here for. We're here to do what God told us to do. And that has brought the miraculous the last 9 years. We're just going to keep on doing it. Amen? Amen. So stand with me. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm going to pray and then we're going to break. And for the last time, look around what God has done through us. If you've been with us for a while, let me tell you this. I shared this with my leaders. If I were to tell you, I have a great idea how we're going to reach Boca Raton. Every Sunday, we're going to show up 2 hours before service. And we're going to get all of our stuff and set it up in rooms all over the cafeteria of a middle school. And people are going to come and they're going to encounter God and have their lives radically changed. And then after that, we're going to put everything back in a closet. And then we're going to do it again next week. Oh, also, let's do it on Friday nights as well. Nobody would think that would be a good idea. But God. Amen? But God. And so now we're moving. We're going to have two services instead of one. And people are like, I don't know how we're going to do services. Listen, if we can turn this place into the house of God, we could do 12 services. Amen? Come on. Nothing is impossible for this group of people right here that you see around you right now. Nothing is impossible with this group. We've had church services in all kind of places. We've, you know, community centers and hotels and Methodist churches and all kinds of, with no electricity. I mean, no air conditioning. We've had all kinds of stuff. In my living room is where we started it. The living room of a condominium. We were so loud, my neighbors underneath us just every Friday went out of town. My other neighbors would go out of town. We're like, we're just having church in my condo. God was with us. So I'm going to pray. And at the end of this, hear me. If you're not serving, you'll be part of this family. We have people in the back of this room at a sign-up table. You can sign up to serve in one area in our new location. Amen? And if you're a box carrier, we're going to need you to set up, you know, tear down some chairs and put some stuff on a truck. If you're a food server, we need you to go outside and help us get some food set up for a barbecue. Amen? So, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, grab a hand near you if you would. Father, we thank you for each and every living stone here right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that none of us did this on our own. But together, what looks crazy is very possible through you. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, every hidden heart's desire that has gone dormant in this room, Lord, I ask that you would breathe upon it. You would breathe upon it with your breath of life. And we ask, Jesus, that you would be with us in this season and the season to come, and that you would be glorified, and that we would bring glory to the name Jesus Christ in Boca Raton. And in all this, we pray in your name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Give one more clap offering the Lord if you would. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.